thank you that we're not faint of heart or faint of mind. We've got something to look forward to. I remember as a boy in the mountains of Guatemala, pushing up through 8,000-9,000 feet, man, the clouds would just be covered over in gray, and you'd be going through mist, and it'd just have something to just be weighing on your soul, weighing on your mind. You ever felt that? Just everything, just cloudy and gloomy and dark. And in those high mountains, all of a sudden you'd break out. A little place called Palestina de los Altos, Palestine of the Heights, is the name of this place. And you get up and you break out of the top of those mountains, 9,000 feet. I don't remember how, we might have been higher than that. And all of a sudden you'd bust through the clouds and you'd remember, you know what, the whole world doesn't look like this right now. The sun would be shining, your spirits would lift. Don't be so focused on the battle that you realize that on the other side we have victory. Don't let your minds become faint. Father, we do today. We do today with Lori and the team. Speak the name of Jesus over the people, over our nation, over our streets, over our states, our cities, over Chino Valley, over Arizona, Father God. In Jesus' name, I thank you for strength of heart. I pray for our people this morning. Would you receive it this morning? Lift up your hands and take it in. That you would be strengthened, as Paul prayed for the Ephesians. Strengthened with might in your inner man. Come on. Say it with me. I receive strength in Jesus' name. Ah, deliver us from sissy Christianity. Hallelujah. Deliver us from milk toast Christianity. I thank you. We can be strong. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So, Father, I thank you today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you today in Jesus' name. We thank you that America's time is not over. The reason the cloud looks so dark is because they're afraid. They're losing their grip. So let's stand and be strong. Hold yourself like a flint. Like the writer of old, how are you going to run with the chariots if you faint with the footmen? Come on, let's be like Elijah. Let's beat them. Are you here today? Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you in Jesus' name. Peace and strength and grace. Father, I thank you that grace, people aren't lazy. They're busy laughing and smiling and studying and knowing and not being intimidated and fighting back with a smile and fighting back with love and fighting back when they need to fight back and fighting back and resisting. Hello. With lots of love. They make you wear a mask at your work. You can't help that. You got to do what you got to do. Provide for your family. But let your smile be so big that the mask can't cover it up. It'll be in your eyes. Your eyes will glow with Jesus. Woo, I'm preaching to myself this morning because yesterday I hit a low. Yesterday I was ready to fight. Ready to punch somebody. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm talking to me right now. I'm preaching to me. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Least shall recognize your enemy is not the flesh. It starts in the spirit. Is there a work to be done? You bet there is. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I worked harder than all the rest of the apostles. I did more than all the rest of them. But I did so because of the grace of God in me. Would you lift up your hands this morning? Here's what the Word of God says in Romans 5:17. Death at one time reigned. Is death reigning in your life? Is the pressure getting to you? Don't let it. Death reigned once, but death's back was broken through the work of the Son on the cross. He said death reigned at one time by one, the first Adam. But now for those who receive, come on, I never get tired of this verse. We quote it every service. For those who receive the abundance of grace. Come on, are you here today? You know what grace is? It's much more than undeserved favor. It's God's ability in you. Would you say it all over the room? It's not me, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. Come on, it's not me, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. His grace in me. Now that I know that, now I know that I walk in divine favor. Now I know I walk in unmerited favor. Here's what Romans 5:17 says. Death used to reign, but not anymore. Not in me. Shout it out this morning. Not anymore. Not in me. Oh, come on. Death reigned by one. But for those who receive. How many receivers we have this morning? The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. These will reign in life. Come hell or high water, you and I are rising to the top. What, I lose you? Come on, Lord, we love you today. We give you thanks. We encourage ourselves in you. Oh, Pastor Lee, you're up there just trying to hype yourself up and hype us up. Absolutely. What's the matter with you? What do you think God was doing with the Israelites when they were marching around the walls of Jericho? They had no clue. He said, man, get ready. On number 7, make a noise. Come on. The impossible. You know, they've gone and studied those archaeological sites and they have no explanation for why those walls are settled flat all the way around. The surrounding dirt and the city inside are intact at the normal level, but the walls themselves, archaeological fact, sank flat to the earth and they marched in against their enemies. Are you aware that one of the promises of Deuteronomy for those who obey the Lord and obey His voice and take heed to His command, this is under the old covenant. How much more now in the new for those who have been delivered from the law and are now in a new law called the law of liberty and the law of love. Do you know that one of the blessings for them was this, that God would make their enemies be consumed with such fear and dread of them that they would flee. Israel saw, remember there were 12 spies. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that saw through the clouds. They got out through the top. They got out past the election, November 3rd. They got past January. Every force in hell trying to do what it can to break the back of the only bastion of freedom on planet Earth right now. You stand your ground. You fight in the Spirit first. This is not the time to weaken. This is the time to stand. In love and faith and power. How many here today? Oh, Pastor Lee, come on. I mean, it's not really. Oh, really? Santa Clara, California, First Baptist Church, paying $5,000 a week right now, $60,000 accrued in fines for having church in America. We are so stinking blessed here, we are in danger of being asleep. Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. This is our America. California is still my America. Most beautiful state in the Union. Hijacked, but still ours. Let's stand. We speak the name of Jesus over that church, over that pastor, over those people, over that state. Healing somehow. We pray. If you can take the walls of Jericho and sink them in the ground, you can do much more. It is not over yet. The fat lady has not sung. That may not be correct, but it's still the truth. You love Jesus? You bunch of, I know there's probably people in that little old teeny church, bunch of crazy wall-eyed believers. Listen, what could be more radical than the words of Jesus? If any two of you shall agree. Two. So Father, we thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Thank you for your word. Thank you that our trust is not in Trump. I said, thank you that our trust is not in Trump. Do I believe God's hand is on Trump?
Yeah.
You betcha. Am I voting for Trump? You bet your boots I'm voting for Trump. I don't know who he was. I don't even necessarily like the man that I've seen through the years. But what I do know is I see a man right now that is standing consistently, ongoing, as recent as yesterday, and right on down the line from judges to local policy to do it. You bet it. All for Judeo-Christian ethic. I don't understand it, but I will take it. The king of Syria, God used to save God's people. I'll take it. Quit the criticism. Open your mouth and speak in faith. It's not about a man. It's about a God in heaven who is greater. And he lives on the inside of you. Would you shout it out with me today? Greater is he, John said, that lives in me than he that lives in the world. So Father, today we lift up our president and all of the cabinet, Father God, those in authority. Father, I thank you that you continue to expose evil. Thank you for a man that has enough integrity to ferret out sex trafficking, going on like crazy. Let the mighty fall. And let the mighty one be exalted. Turn our nation around. We've been praying. Why would it surprise us? For I remember a song of old that still stands for today. You've turned my sorrow into joy. You've turned my mourning into dancing. Do you see past the cloud cover? Can you see a day when we dance together and rejoice together because of the goodness of God? Huh? You've turned my mourning into dancing again. You've lifted my sorrow. I can't stay silent. I must sing for the joy has come. That, or there's something. Well, that's an oldie. It's not even country, and I know it. Praise the Lord. You love Jesus today?
Yeah.
Won't you do me a favor? Find somebody that you don't know. Get out of your little seat. That seat does not have your name on it. So get out of the Lord. Well, are you blessed this morning?
Yeah.
Before we go any further, how many have enjoyed Chad the last couple of weeks? And we're going to be hearing from him a little bit more often. And I appreciate so much his teaching ability and his imparting of truth. What a blessing, what a thrill for me to see that. And I know there's some more of you out there as well. But at any rate, we appreciate that so much. I love the analogy of the hinge. Are you unhinged today? If you're unhinged, get the Thanksgiving pin. Get the hinges back together. Drop the Thanksgiving pin down through and things will swing open to the blessing of God. There it is. How about it? Hey, come on. That preaches. I love it. And it stomped all over my toes. Thank you, Chad. Tonight at 5:30, Mike Stroll. It's funny because I met Mike at Lake Pleasant. I took Bruce, my son-in-law. I just saw Bruce. He just left. He's sitting over here. I took Bruce for his birthday last year or the year before on a guided trip, fishing trip. And Mike Stroll is a fishing guide, about 70 years of age. He's got several guys that contract under him. And I think he's retired Navy. He's chaplain at Pure Heart Ministries, Pure Heart Church, in Glendale, Arizona. The guy's involved in everything. He's an amazing guy. And I invited him to come up and share with us a little bit about what's going on at Pure Heart. He's also got a lot of kind of cutting edge. You know, most of you in here, we've really honed in on this. So most of us in here are pretty informed about a lot of things that are going on. He's got some, his wife is an RN. For example, remember the video that was circulating for a while till they, so the powers that be struck it down, took it off. The young nurse from Elmhurst Hospital in New York, whistleblower, that went in and exposed what was going on completely. They've done their best to strike down, shut up, tear down everything they can. and to keep the public fooled. But anyway, this Mike's wife, who is an RN and in that world, went and vetted that woman, her whole story and everything take place. She said everything she said and who she is exactly 150% on. And he said it's a shame what has taken place. Anyway, he's got information about the all the biotechnology that's going into the vaccines, a lot of kind of spooky stuff, really. His eschatological, say that. Yeah, beliefs are not the same as mine. He's a rapture guy, 7-year, whatever. Doesn't matter. In the end, Jesus returns. Either way, we are victorious. All will be redeemed, you and I, and planet Earth. What the Bible says. And he will reign forever. How many know 1,000 years in Hebrew means forever? Some people get kind of hung up on that. It means forever and ever and ever he shall reign. Okay. At any rate, but we can straighten all that out later. I'm not afraid of people with a little bit different beliefs, as long as they believe in the same Jesus. Amen. And I love Mike, and he's going to be sharing with his wife tonight at 5:30. So we would invite you to come out and hear that. Some of the up and cutting edge news on what is taking place in reference to COVID and the vaccines and the whole deal. And I love his approach because it's all about loving our nation, loving our God, praying for our nation. His wife will be sharing a prayer plan that their church is using that's gone national. There's a prayer summit day that will be simulcasted. You can go online and be a part of it live. They are putting together groups of people that are going to go to Washington. They're expecting quite a few there. They're praying in the Capitol. So his emphasis is right. You're not going to hear a bunch of doom and gloom. You're going to hear Jesus being exalted. So anyway, it'll just be good. And I'll give Chris and a few of the others a chance to take a breather. So that's tonight at 5:30. I hope that you would be able to come out and be a part of that fellowship together. That's Mike Stroll. Dave Cool, the man that we bought this property from, and also our house, by the way, just underwent a 4 bypass heart surgery. Real shock to the family. He was hunting. And so could we just right now, he's doing good on the recovery. Because of things as they are now, can't even see anybody for 20 days as of a few days ago. It's ridiculous. Nonsense. At any rate, I'll get off my bully pulpit. But at any rate, so would you extend your hands towards me as I stand in proxy for Dave? Father God, I thank you in Jesus' name for your healing touch over Dave Cool. In Jesus' name, supernatural recovery to that man. I speak to, would you help me? Come on. I speak to the emotional dive that is inherent with heart surgery. The psychological blast. We speak to it. We cut you off before you get started. I thank you that the joy of the Lord is his strength. Over precious Beverly, his wife, that you would strengthen her. She, like my wife did years ago, laying in a hospital for 18 days, almost killed. My wife spoke words into me that were supernatural because I just was blown away. But we need one another. Not one of us in Jesus is designed to go it alone. We need one another. I thank you for your grace and your strength on Beverly, on their home, on their business, and all that they do. Supernatural healing. And it's okay to claim better than before in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be back with you guys this morning. Seems like forever ago. I had a couple of people say, did you have a nice refreshing time? Nope. That's still coming. Praise the Lord. That's when I'll answer Ibby when she says, did your being away involve a fishing boat? I said, I'm going to say, yes, it did, but not this time. But we did have a great time. It was nice to see my brother and his family. And we're in the process right now of selling our property. Woo, man, I don't know if I want to go through that again. But God's, we're going to be blessed on the other side. And wow, a lot more to it for this naive. I've never done anything like that before. And we've got a fairly big place and getting all that together. And then seeing my brothers. The week before, I felt like I needed to get not just my wife, but especially her, out of here. And we went up into Zion, Utah. And stood in unbelief as people stood high and dry in that beautiful place with the wind blowing. With everybody masked from the tallest to the littlest. Excuse me. No, we stood in wonder of Bryce Canyon and of Zion and that. I couldn't hardly believe it. I said out loud, wow, this is the most incredible, most supernatural, strongest disease ever in the history of mankind. I mean, it is prevalent and real, high on a mountain with the wind blowing on a clear, dry day. Wow! I must be really stupid! Or not. I digress. We stood in the wonder of Zion. What an incredible place. I'm glad Jesus owns it, not the Mormons. Someday it'll be, wow. Man, I am so not politically correct this morning. Probably nobody's going to ever come back, at any rate. I'm in wonder each week when anybody comes back anyway, so I guess nothing's new. But at any rate, what an incredibly beautiful place. Anybody ever been there? Wow. And then Bryce Canyon, what an incredible place. Hey, we're trying. It's just like what I hear all the time, though, Vic. You'd say, Pastor, you need to learn how to say no once in a while. And then when I do, they say, but not me. You need to get out once in a while. And then when I do, they go, well, where'd you go? Praise the Lord. I'm glad we don't feel that way. Great people and good people to fill. And God is good. So that's where we're at the week before. This morning, I'll be honest with you. I've had an extremely full month, couple of weeks. A lot rolling around in my heart. I have a message I've been sitting on, as you know, for almost 2 months now. It's still there. But I don't want to do that today. I want to encourage you and exhort. Justin Reeder, one of the leaders, I believe he was the founder, I'm not sure, Greensboro, North Carolina, lovelight.org, and the battle against abortion in our nation, loving people that are going through that. By the way, did you enjoy Carrie Barnes? It's not Barnes anymore. Go Forth, yes. Her husband, you may know, was a police officer years ago and went to be with the Lord. And anyway, she remarried here not too long ago, so I still know her as Carrie Barnes, was here and shared about the pregnancy center, a great thing to be involved in. How many are here for that? Right here in our own hometown, Word of Life, Assemblies of God, doing a great work in that, and we really appreciate that. And pray that you would support that effort as you fill up. Anyway, this guy here, Justin Reeder, he was talking about everything that's taking place right now and the pressure that is on the church. Obviously with their theme, but in all themes, and what is taking this absolute blast from the left on every level. And he said it's time for believers to draw a line in their hearts. I don't want to get negative at all this morning. That's not my point at all. Our strength is in Him. Okay, but how many have felt the pressure building? Understand that that's a demonic ploy. Don't fall for it. You'll temporarily fall for it. I fell for it this week for a little bit. Until I slap myself. Come on, Leiford, you can't go there. When you get so angry that your guts are hurting, You're way off track. It's Jesus in me, not the cowboy in me, that makes the difference. But it frustrates me so bad because every time you bring up something truth, you're shut down with that whole look. Oh, you're one of those. You're a conspiracy theorist. I came up with a new term. Chris liked it. Caleb loved it. You going to call me a conspiracy theorist? Well, you keep your head in the sand. Hope for the best. Don't do anything. Don't stand for anything. Just hope for the best. I just want things to go back to the way they were. I'm glad they didn't think that way in World War II. I'm glad 400 years ago, when people were dying, as many as two a day at Plymouth Rock, I just want to go back to the way it was. Those people understood the incredible wealth of true freedom. And would never know what their payment would mean for those who followed them. And the sad part is, most of the 40-somethings and down this age don't know again on the other side. We got a bit of a job to do. Anyway, you know, every time you come up with a bit of truth, you know, I love how the whole mask thing, I'm not picking on the maskers. There's people that are just afraid, people that don't know, people trying to do the right thing, you know, whatever. If you have to work, make a living for your family, I get it. There's a few places that I would wear a mask. If it got down, it meant me feeding my family, as long as you're not sticking a chip in my arm. You think that's a joke? Come tonight. Guy who's is connected with the military, retired military, wife's an RN, they know exactly what's going on. That is not a conspiracy theory. It is where they want to go. And unless the right people make a stand, they will go there. Think of where we are at today in America. We lost our guts in the 60s. The golden age of television was the result of believers in the church standing up and saying, we have had enough of hardcore porn in the silent theater movie house. You didn't even know that existed, did you? Oh yeah, it was prevalent. Hardcore, full-blown black and white, subtitled movie theater porn in America. It was being used primarily for that in the underworld. Old video, made in the 90s, tremendous, put out by Michael Medved, Dr. Dobson, and several others, put together a documentary that fully vetted all their information. Tons of footage, a video called Death by Entertainment. And they talked about the trajectory of America and our morality and where it would take us if we didn't get a handle on it in the 90s. And we're there. Things changed, though, when the church got involved. Not angry and fighting like the wicked do, but standing for something. What's the old boy from the 90s? Weightlifter. Gotta stand for something or you fall for anything. Aaron Tippin, you just dated yourself. Who said that? Oh, of course, Kevin Hedpeth. Of course, Kevin. We're same age. At any rate, where was I? You know, if I have to go feed my family, Another one is, if it gets down to that's what they require to go in and vote, you bet your boots. But I've shocked a few people from Home Depot to Big Lots to you name it. And they tried to shame me, and I said, listen, with all due respect, you do what you do, I'll do what I do. But it's here. It's everywhere. There's nothing you can do to stop it. Everybody will be exposed. And that mask you have on your face does nothing but force you to kneel in your mind. I don't see it that way. And the retort I get is, I didn't mean to make this morning out of masks. It's just that it's so, it's just, right, you know, I thank God for where we live, because it's not like it is in a lot of places. We have a lot of freedom here that we need to appreciate and smile and be aware of. And the few that are afraid, you know, but I love how it's changed from I'm wearing it to protect me. Now it's that subtle shift of, no, I wear it to protect you. Yeah. You don't give a flying rip about me. What are you, don't even know, what are you talking about? That's that new world thinking, we are the world. We are the ones who make a brighter day. No, we're not. It's in Him and in Him alone. And it's about time that people who believe the Bible believe. Psalms 5:12. It says, He surrounds me with a shield of favor. You know, we got a few people out this morning with COVID. Because no matter what you have COVID.
That's
so,
right.
I've got an article. I'm not going to bore you with it, but I brought it. What I've been saying from the beginning. And it's this is late July 2020, July 29th, globalresearch.org, manufactured pandemic, testing people for any strain of coronavirus, not specifically for COVID-19. We've been testing cattle for COVID for how many years? Or not testing, I mean vaccinating. How many years? Common cold is a COVID. What's the deal? Forget COVID, forget the mask. I didn't mean to get off and all that. My point is that it's being used to control people, control their minds. And have you noticed that the gun has swung towards the church? Because this is where true free thinking people are. So stand strong. Don't be rude. Don't be ignorant. It's hard not to be sometimes. But I don't feel like it's ignorant to tell somebody who's attacking me in a grocery line to turn around and tell them, look, you need to back off. You exercise your right, you go, but I don't do it. And here's why. And I choose not to patronize those that do. And if you want to and put a mask on, that's your business between you and the Lord. No shame in that. They're not going to put a new religion on, no masker church. That's not what we're about at all. Just as long as you understand what's taking place. Because the pressure that you're feeling has nothing to do with any of that. The pressure that you're feeling is the God of this world. And He is giddy right now at the thought that He could be near to taking over, as I said earlier, the only remaining bastion of freedom in this world. America would not change alone. The whole world would change. But I see a day when the enemy's back is broken. As I said a few weeks ago, there's a storm coming. There's going to be some washboarded roads and a few potholes and a little damage, maybe a busted spring, but we're going to come out the other side with some great things. I believe God is not done with America. I believe that He wants revival in the world. I'm not a doomsdayer. I'm not going down. We're not going down in flames. Good things are going to happen because there are just a few standing. First Chronicles, I think it is, chapter 11. Tony Perkins, the director of Family Research Council was talking about fear. And he talks about a time when the nation of Israel was in great transition. David is moving the temple to Jerusalem. The kingdom is being consolidated. And key battles are shaping the future of Israel. And they speak of the mighty men of David and those that stood in a bean field. One says lentils, one says something else, immaterial. Stood in You think that's funny? What's that? Is it this? Are we back on? Okay, we'll worry about it. I'm not going to get into that. At any rate, where was I at before I was so rudely interrupted by the deep state? Huh? Hey, you think I'm being funny? My wife set up an anonymous blog. She sent certain things in her private messenger. She's been cited and suspended for 30 days and threatened with expunging all of her accounts from Facebook. Woo! Oh, I never got to my term. You know, you start talking about this stuff and they talk about, you're just another conspiracy. I got a new term for you. You're conspirophobic. How about that? You got your head so far in the sand, you're afraid to look under anything. Yeah. Think about anything further than what you're being fed. You have to realize that there's a... Yes. Of course we can. You want to do that right now? Are you volunteering? You interrupted my message. You better. Come on. Get up here. We're going to limit this to this. We'll do a request at the end. Otherwise, we'll get out of hand. I got stuff where I'm like, what's your request? Make it quick. I'm glad you pressed. Yes, we need to wake people up. You bet. 23 million Christians did not vote. That is a fact. Just read it. So, in Jesus' name, come here. Pray for Washington. No? You want to bring it there? How dare you? Would you stretch your hands, Father, right now in Jesus' name for the state of Washington? Pray. Thank you.
Look over all
of those. Thank you, Lord.
That are fighting the fire and running from their homes to nothing. Watch over them. Give them healing. Give them strength. Give them the cover of your hand. That you protect them and watch over them,
yes.
Lord, because they need your guidance at this moment.
That's right.
And Lord, please send your tears, send your rain to douse the fire.
Yes.
Lord, just please shower them with your love. Shower them with your healing
protection,
and
your
strength.
Yes. In Jesus'
Lord,
name.
Lord, your strength.
Amen.
In your blessed name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Absolutely. You know, it's kind of odd. Was it Washington or was it one of the others where 15 fires were set all at the same time?
Yep.
Nobody knows how?
No.
Any rate. Yes. Beanfield. The mighty men of God made a stand in a bean field. It's time to take a stand. Time to draw a line in your heart. How far are you willing to go? Be gracious, loving. First in you, between you and the Lord. Find your center in Jesus. Say, I'll not budge past this. I'm done. Daniel, it's awesome. That was awesome. You too, Diane. It's true. 23 million. Time to be involved. I see Brother Daniel, he got up and left, my good missionary buddy. Just preach Jesus, he says. What he doesn't understand is, if Jesus isn't affecting your real world right now, you're here. The remainder of this week, you won't be here. And if we don't talk about these subjects and encourage you in Jesus so that through the week you're hearing, together with the Word of God, the ability to stand and smile in the Safeway line and uptown and walk into Home Depot and not be intimidated. Man, they put two big old bouncer guys. I was with Bruce. Two big old bouncer guys at the Home Depot in Prescott Valley. I walked in and said, "Sir, you got to wear a mask." I said, "I don't wear a mask. Not now or ever." He said, "Well, you do here. I mean, huge." And I said, "Nope," and walked right by him. Went inside, shopped around. It's like everybody wanted to come help me. They wanted to be around somebody. Billy Graham says there's something about people who take a stand. It's contagious. And those who take a stand seem to give backbone to those around them. I'm not saying be a jerk or be ignorant, but there's nothing. You know what the guy said? He turned around and goes, "Well, there you go." Pure intimidation. So I made sure when I left, I went out the end right by him. He goes, "Now you're taking a little far, aren't you?" And I said, "Maybe." I winked. He laughed. But everybody else, I watched everybody, a big old construction guy's in there walking in. Taking away their smiles, their face, their individuals, their personalities, everything. This is old political science. Islamic nations were doing this. It was the way they conquered people and controlled them. This is old stuff. Excuse me, that little thing I did just made a mess. Can you strike that off the video? But I want to say, no, you're a conspiraphobic. How about that? I like that. We need to have a bumper sticker. You should see the one on the back of my truck right now. It says, "Come on, Americans, take the mask off, save the children. All lives matter, period." Chris made it for me. It's about that big. For $20, they can have one, right? You got the guts to wear it. Now, I did get it in a magnet, so when I go into a store somewhere, I can take it off and put it in the back seat. I have a pickup left when I get back. Aren't you proud of Prescott? Yes. Thousand permits for Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Don't you love Yavapai County? Yeah. I didn't tell anybody, but I was there. Nothing happened. I'm a little suspicious about what they're doing. I know Pat and Sally. I missed you. We got it a little later, but Pat and Sally and Annie and Pam were up over the town praying. But that didn't have anything to do with why it didn't happen at all. That is a nice gesture. How many know prayer works? Come on, you bunch of Methodists. How many know prayer works? Now, God bless the Methodists. That was terrible. I shouldn't say that. We need to draw a line in our hearts, people. I love what this guy says. I'm not going past this point. It's become a moral issue. That's what all this is about. What we're dealing with is not right versus left. It's right versus wrong. It's about right versus communism. I grew up around this stuff. I heard liberation theology when I was a teenager in Guatemala. I recognize the terms. I know exactly what's going on. It's the same pattern. And I think less and less people are falling for it. I'm watching more and more voices. I was going to show a video this morning, and I decided I'm not going to do that. I've read enough articles. Maybe we'll see as we get closer to the election. But black preacher out of Minnesota calling Black Lives Matter out. Calling them out on Fox News and Fox News on the morning show, letting them roll. And this has nothing to do with black lives. This has everything to do with a leftist agenda and tearing down our freedoms. Draw a line in your heart. Daniel drew a line. He was a man who the Lord blessed from his youth. But he was a man of no compromise. In the king's palace, a prisoner, but living in some pretty fine surroundings, refused the king's meat. Said, no, I'll pray and fast and stay simple. God exalted that man. He effected a kingdom. But the devil's always got a plan. You know the story. Winds up in jail once again. And again. A trick planned for the king. And there came a time when he said, I'm a man of integrity, of honor, of love. No fear, but also of no compromise. And I will obey God rather than the laws of the king. Some have referred to it as the open window policy. He said, I will leave my windows open and I will let them see that I will pray. Let them do what they may. Draw a line in your heart. Now, once you've drawn a light in your heart, Jesus said this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Paul put it this way in Ephesians. He said, speak the truth in love. And I'm going to add, but nevertheless, speak up. Words are powerful. Words with a smile are even more powerful. Words with a smile and strength born out of God knowledge are even more powerful yet. Jesus did miracles. He walked on water, cleansed the lepers. But they marveled at the authority with which he spake. That's what got him killed. Not the miracles. I'm very glad for Jesus this morning. Do you know who you are? Do you know where you came from? Do you know where you're going? Do you know whose you are? Do you know who he is in you and who you are in him? Do you know what your future looks like if that's true? Then do a little checkup from the neck up. Notify your face. And if you're forced to wear a mask, smile so big people can see it in your eyes. Speak up. I love that, what he said. Draw a line in your heart. Speak the truth in love. Speak up. Number three, keep your windows open. Unashamed. Romans 1:16, Paul put it this way. I am not ashamed of the gospel. You say, Pastor Lee, what has that got to do with all this? It has to do with the fact that this is all being used. to come after God-given freedoms, but that's not where they're stopping. That's in passing. They're headed for the believer and the God in you. But I think they're going to fail. Big. Huge. There's signs all over. Seven governors in Minnesota. They're trying to keep this stuff out of the news. They're trying to shut it down. There is an avalanche happening. You hang on. You stand. Keep your mouth right. How many are glad for Jesus today? Here it is, Billy Graham. I knew I'd written it down. Courage is contagious when a brave man takes a stand. Or woman. I love how they love to pick on the women in these situations. They must see something in my eyes. They just leave me alone. The spines, it says here, courage is contagious when a brave man takes a stand. The spines of others are often stiffened. I think that's a pretty cool quote. Tony Perkins talks about David's mighty men in the bean field and how they took a stand. The people fled, but his mighty man took a stand, and God gave them a great victory that day. And he says here, why do people flee in the face of opposition? Fear. And then he said something that really hit me. Nothing new, but just think about it. Every time God is getting ready to do something great, you read throughout the Old Testament, every time he's getting ready to do something great, don't forget that God loves each and every one of you individually. Individually. Psalms 5:12 says, do you see it? Do you believe it? I grasp in my heart. Now, maybe not everybody's there. Maybe you're stronger in faith in another area than me. It amazes me in the process of the sale of our home where Chad is because of his experience. That side, it's not his only anointing, but where he's at and his ability and knowledge, the way he just grasped it, it's amazing to me. But in my heart of hearts, I have a knowledge, a knowing from my toes that no matter where I go, real COVID-19 or not, it dies when it touches me. I don't live in that kind of fear at all. And I don't fall for the intimidation tactic of, "You're what are you, trying to kill my grandma? You goofy." Anyway, I got off on that again. At any rate, where was that? Individually, he loves us. Individually. He protects us. Do you believe that he is your healer? Do you believe that he is your protector? Do you really believe? We sing about it, but do you actually believe that he is your rebuilder, your rewarder, your salvation? Amen. Well, yes, spiritually. Really? Really? Spiritually. That's it. It's all spiritual. What about John 10:10? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's real planet Earth, boots on the ground, getting down and dirty, real life, living here right now stuff. We don't need that in heaven. That won't be happening. Okay? But I have come right now in opposition, in resistance to. I have come that you might have life here and now. Life and life in abundance. Paul said he was. Listen, people attack the get-rich gospel, hyper-prosperity. Listen, I agree with you. All kinds of abuse. Not because the central theme of that teaching was wrong, but because it got hijacked and blown into a place where it didn't belong. But you better believe that it's God blessing you and not you. And 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says clearly in your Bible, He was made poor so that you could be rich. And I want you to notice the context. The context is all about money. Not for us to heap to ourselves. But he's saying the believer who trusts me in this will be blessed to the degree that he will have bounty enough to give to anyone around him he finds in need. I don't know about you, but I've got some growth there because I can't bless just everybody I run into that needs it. I think we all have some growth there. So I look to him. Okay? Anyway, got a little off track, but that was free. It won't cost you any extra. I believe with all of my heart. I don't have to go into the public fearing. You think that's crazy? They watched the bubonic plague die on John G. Lake's hands. Observed it. I have a personal friend, Eliseo Villar, in prison in Cuba for preaching the gospel. Former police officer for the Communist Party. Guard. Got saved, spirit-filled. Imprisoned. Bubonic plague broke out. Chaos. Eliseo started praying for the sick. He didn't shrink. He drew a line in his heart. Oh, that's what you meant, yeah. He drew a line in his heart. And then, out of the abundance of his heart, he began to speak. Part of the message that I eventually may or may not get to, it's here, been there for a while, is at a time when they needed to build a larger facility because the young prophets of the land, the school of the prophets, was growing and they were having an effect on their nation. Lord, let that be again. Young prophets. Let me translate it. Young preachers who have such an effect on their land, they have to expand to accommodate. In the process of the building and establishing the place, an axe is borrowed. And the man who borrows it drops it in a stream, comes to, is it Elisha? Comes to Elisha. Says, Elisha, I'm in trouble, dude. I don't know if he said dude, but something along those lines. I'm in trouble. I lost a borrowed. I mean, there's angst here. I lost a borrowed axe in the waters. Elisha says, no worries. And the Lord causes that axe to float. But I want you to notice he didn't cause the axe to suspend into the air and land in his hands. Faith requires some response. He made it float. And I want you to notice how he did. He said, take a stick. Do you feel powerless in the face of all that? Does it almost feel foolish standing in here speaking over our nation? Speaking, Lori, Jesus? Over our streets and over our land? Does that sound so insignificant? It just seems like nothing. A stick. But a stick, as a result of the Word of God through the man of God, which, by the way, the man of God is no longer Pastor Lee. You're our leader. You're so anointed. You're such a gift of God for us. You're just so special. You're the pastor. You're anointed. Thank you. Sweet. But we're in trouble. For under the new covenant, he has made you and I together kings and priests from God. You are as stinking anointed, if I may put it that way, as I am. All you got to do is open your mouth. Believe God. The man of God, the woman of God said, take a stick, cast it in the water, and an axe floated. I love how that a rod, a staff, is used all the way through the Old Testament. An insignificant, simple, seemingly powerless thing. Moses, God, how can I do all the stuff you're calling me to do? What do you have in your hand? A stick? Watch this, Moses. With nothing but a stick in your hand, if you're listening to me, you'll see waters part. You'll see the devil's snakes eaten up. All the way down to the rod of Jesse speaking prophetically of one who is of no special visage, Isaiah tells us. He was a plain man, a simple man. For out of the rod of, what scripture say? There'll come one. He is the Word. He is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And if you have been born again, the Word is on the inside of you. This is what Psalms 23 is prophetically speaking of. He leads me, my shepherd. How many are glad for the shepherd today? He leads me beside still waters. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But every once in a while, I get to thinking that I know better than Him. And I take a side trip in my arrogance. And I find myself in the valley of the shadow of death. Even there, you are with me in a place of my own making and own mistakes. Your rod and your staff, it may seem insignificant, but if you'll open your mouth and let the Word of God stand in you, you are not alone. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me in this process, in the presence of mine enemies. Eliseo in that prison in Havana, Cuba, men dying, nasty conditions, huge rats everywhere, said, not me, not now. He drew a line in his heart. He opened up his mouth and began to pray, and people began to get healed. I know the man personally. Watched his ministry. He got that prison totally calmed down. The Cuban guard came to him and said, what are you doing? We need you in other prisons. He goes, just give me a little New Testament. The Cuban guard brought Eliseo Villar a New Testament, handed it through the bars, and he sat, tears running down his face, saying that one little book was spread all over the prison, each page precious. As men begin to find out about a Jesus who saves, who heals, who delivers. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Amen. Time to take a stand. This isn't the time. I love Paul. He is foremost in my mind of those after Jesus that I want to sit down with. And in the evil day, he says in Ephesians 6, having done all to stand, I'm not lazy. I haven't been sitting on my hands waiting on something to happen. I've been active like Paul. I did more than all the rest of these apostles. I worked harder than any of them and got more done. That may either be arrogance or humility, depending on how you receive the next part of that phrase. Because of the grace of God in me. He just said right there, it ain't little old me. I'm glad for Jesus today. How did it get to be 11:45 already? Every time God gets ready to move, let me finish with this. Every time gets ready, that's where I started out a little bit, but just reminded myself. He loves you, each and every one. Do you remember this? Individually. He cares about you individually. But don't forget that God also cares about nations and leaders. He's always dealt with nations and leaders. He's talked to them as entities like he would a person. And every time he's getting ready to do something great in a nation, great with a people, you always hear the words preceding it, fear thou not. Fear thou not. Moses, quit that stuttering, blubbering, whoa. Moses never did learn his lesson. And stand on your feet. Over and over again we hear, fear thou not. You know, and man, if we've got anywhere in the nation where this is a little easier to do, it's right here. Thank God for Arizona. And protector. How did we get a Secretary of State like that? Going home. You better wake up and pray. But thank God, anyway. Why does God constantly have to tell his people not to fear? Because fear is the natural default of all human beings. It's part of that old nature, not a dual. I don't believe that. We don't have a dual nature. We have a new nature. If you're born again, you have a new nature. It's called the nature of God. You're a new creature. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. You don't have two natures. Like some people teach, it's totally erroneous, not biblical. You have a new nature. Now your new nature is to reshape and rebend the effects in your outward man of the old nature. Learned behavior. Patterns. Are you with me? It's not another nature still alive. It's what Andrew Womack calls virtual reality. Kind of like when you're for hours and hours and hours in an airplane and you step off, especially small airplane, you step off the airplane and the ground's still moving. It's not, but it is for you. Virtual reality? Is that a bad... Okay. You step out of the old man into Jesus. For a lot of us, the ground's still moving. We're new, but it's like, oh, I got to learn how to do this. What Paul's talking about in Romans 12:1-2. I beg of you, therefore, brothers, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Said, man, that guy preached all morning long and he never opened his Bible. You're not paying attention. I probably quoted you 30 scriptures already. Romans 12, 1 and 2, you ought to be looking at it. 12, 1 and 2, I beg of you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. This is only true because of what Jesus has done. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why is it reasonable? Because he did the hard part. All we got to do is offer. So now the rest of it is, let the inner man break forward, break out into the new man. Here's how it happens. Be not conformed to this world. Moffat's translation says, Spirit of this age, be not conformed to this world, but rather be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. What you're experiencing right now is a demonic attempt to oppress the minds of good people. Don't fall for it. Shout it out with me today. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah, some of you aren't voting. Hopefully you will in November. The joy of the Lord. Come on, say it like you mean it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. One thing that's neat about joy, it's of the Lord. So when you feel like you're kind of being fake, by acting that way, to get that way. He taught this all through the Old Testament. Did you think your enemies are going to conquer you? But I'm telling you, Jehoshaphat, instead of putting your mighty men out front with all the weapons of war, get your guys that like to sing and your guitars and your mandolins and your fiddles and get them all out in the front with some good, good, good spanking blue gospel bluegrass. Yeah, get them out there in the front. If you don't believe the Bible, then you don't know the Lord. You don't believe. And mighty victory happened as they lifted their voices. You think they felt like it? Uh-uh. They didn't have nowhere to go. There was no backing up. Jehovah has spoken. We got to do this. I love how the joy of the Lord, joy of the Lord. So that means if I don't feel like it at all, it's a sacrifice unto the Lord. When I begin to lift my voice and begin to, in spite of the caving in that I'm feeling on the end, that's what Paul means in Ephesians 6 when he says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. How? He says, get a grip. Everything he begins to speak of has to do with the mind. Don't you remember the weapons of our warfare? All of them. Feet, breastplate, belt, helmet, sword, shield. Every one of them have to do with the mind. Hebrews 12. Consider him. After he makes that great statement that everybody knows and quotes. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. In that same little volley, he says, consider him. All he went through so that you don't faint and become weary in your minds. Galatians 6, 9, speaking of finances, but a principle that works across the board in the kingdom says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due time you will reap your reward. Can you see past the cloud cover today? Can you see a place of victory? Can you see a place of restoration? Some of you are mistaking what I'm saying by, are you telling us, Pastor Lee, that for sure that's going to happen because that would sure make me feel better if I left. That's not faith. Do you see with the eye of faith? Can you stand and see and experience? This is what Paul talks about. You got to see it in your imagination. People, oh, that's metaphysical. No, no, it's not. That was God's plan first. Can you see it in the spirit with the eye of faith? I mean, till you can taste it and feel it. I do. Are you here today?
Yeah. Amen.
Father, I thank you. Man, there's so much more I wanted to get to, but I'm way out of time. I bet that's one thing you loved about Chad. Chad, what time did you get done? Where'd he go? What time was Chad done? About 11:30, so? So what?
Yeah, that's right. So what?
I'll just stop, because if I say another word, I'm going to go on preaching more. It's already 5 to 12. 5:30 tonight with Mike Stroll. Did you get encouraged today? You got some word to go on? Draw a line.